Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior hotelier from the Middle East and a fellow YPOR, Sandeep Walia. Sandeep, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me over.
Thank you. Sandeep is the Chief Operating Officer of the Middle East for Marriott International. He's worked in multiple countries, and as I just mentioned, he's a fellow member of the YPO. So Sandeep, let's talk about Marriott and tourism. And sure. The top of the line question for everybody is, how has the pandemic impacted hotel and tourism?
It's a but obvious question, and I think somewhere this whole COVID has speeded up a lot of things. So I think the first and foremost is hygiene and cleanliness. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had done a survey, I think about 6 years back, in the luxury space to ask our guests, what's the most important or the top three things you see in a luxury hotel? And to our surprise, what came out as number one was cleanliness, as basic as that. And I think it's this whole COVID has just brought that in the forefront, that hygiene and cleanliness is the most important. I think what's become a bit different is today it's people like to see it a bit more measurable. People like to see a bit more visual. And I'll just share an example of the fact that if you're checking into a hotel, even if it's a luxury hotel today, people like to see the fact that there are pens lying on a tray which are clean, and you sign on the reg card and you're leaving it on another tray which says used pens. Wow. Now, in the old times, you would say this looks cheesy, but in today's times, it conveys a sense of hygiene and cleanliness. You find stickers to maintain social distancing even in the best of hotels, and that's a prime example of the people want to see the hygiene and cleanliness. So I think that's kind of been the one. The second I would say is communication. That's become even more important. It always was. But I think people want reassurance. So there's a lot of focus we have had at Marriott on pre-arrival communication, but also at the check-in as to what's open, what they can do, what they can't do. So I think communication has become a very important part. And the last I would say is technology is kind of, I mean, here we are talking on Zoom. Hopefully we would have been meeting in person. But I mean, today half the things are getting done on Zoom or Teams. But on the same front on technology, I think what we found a guest kind of appreciating is a contactless approach to business. So for example, if you're a Marriott Bonvoy member, you can download the app, check in on your iPhone itself, as you would do at an airport. So I think technology is kind of getting integrated in the industry faster. So I would say these are the kind of things which come up.
Fascinating. No, very fascinating. And I am a Marriott Bonvoy member, and I have tried checking in, and it works. So, you know, tell me, you know, Sandeep, in your current role as the Chief Operating Officer, I've often wondered, Marriott is the biggest chain in the world. And you have so many different brands. While on the one side, biggest chain gives you the largest market share, but so many brands also results in lots of challenges. So my question is, how do you manage so many different brands?
Yes, a good question. But I think I see brands as strength. So we have, you're right, we have 7,600 hotels across the world, and it's about 30 brands that we have. But I have to say that I think one side, it brings a lot of strength to us because whether there's a luxury brand or a premium brand or a select brand, I think every brand has its own niche and its own guests or customers, and we are able to capture a wider audience thus. But to your question, what is the challenge? I would say I would equate it to a bit like a swimming pool. It's different swim lanes. And our challenge is that we need to remain, if each channel in this swimming pool is one brand, we need to make sure that we remain within that swim lane for each brand. Now, when you go deep into the water might be getting mixed because, you know, end of the day, the IT processes or the finance processes are similar between the brands because it's one with Marriott International. But on the top, the service standards of what the brand stands for, whether it's a Ritz-Carlton or a St. Regis or a W, we need to stay true to that. And I think our challenge is that when we travel across the globe, and I'm looking at your map behind you right now, we need to remain true to each brand. A courtyard in US should be the same as a courtyard in Asia, and so forth. So I think remaining true to each brand is very important.
Very well said. And as you look at the past 18 months for, or you know, from your courtyard, in the US to your St. Regis and all the other top names that you have, one of the things that people often talk about is that because of technology, which you just spoke about, Zoom, business travel is going to be taking much more time to pick up. I don't know what your prognosis is.
No, it's a very fair point, and I think it's one that one can't shy off. But I would say that one has started, it's a bit of a staggered answer or broken up because it really depends on which part of the world you are in. One, I think travel has become a bit more dependent on vaccinations, number of COVID cases, which eventually leads to corridors being open or not. But what's really encouraging, Ashutosh, is the fact that there is a huge amount of pent-up demand. And we've seen it every time two corridors open to travel, you can see the occupancies just shooting up. And we kind of seeing new markets. So when we look at I'm today in Dubai. We look at UAE. The highest today demand is actually the domestic market, which is the staycation itself. And we have 66 hotels in UAE. In fact, in the month of June, we crossed the occupancies of 2019. The ADR was actually higher, but it is all led by leisure. So your question is very valid. It's led by leisure, but I would use we love to use different words. It's called bleisure, but it's a bit of a blend of business and leisure coming together. And it had started actually. It had started pre-COVID where when people travel for business, they would still look at a spa option or F&B options to get some me time or downtime. And when they went for leisure, they still looked at the speed of Wi-Fi because they needed to check email. So it had started. But it only got accelerated with COVID. So people are taking vacations, which is kind of spending time with the family, online school happening in one room, but then you're doing business as well. So we're seeing a bit of growth on that piece. The leisure has really exceeded. So it's kind of compensated somewhere on the business piece. And you're right, Zoom and Teams are here to stay. But I strongly believe that a few years later, it will not be Zoom and Teams. We'll be back meeting each other. There is no substitute to human connection. Absolutely. So
social interaction and actual face-to-face meetings are the only answer to doing business. I agree.
Absolutely. My glass is half full.
Absolutely. Well said. And you know, you said very, very correctly about staycations. I find even here in, say, in India, the Delhi hotels, which have been affected because of not business travel, are suddenly seeing people from Agra or people from Jaipur saying, let's go and spend 3 days in Delhi.
True.
And stay in all these high-end in hotels. So you're absolutely right. But moving on, you know, Sandeep, given your vast experience and, you know, traveling all over the world, the more I see, and, you know, we are very, very ardent travelers, and but I find now travelers are seeking more experiences rather than a great hotel. I mean, they want a great hotel, but they want far more experiences. How are your properties and your brands adapting to this fresh demand?
I would say it is again a demand or a shift from product to experiences. Even when we talk about, people, you're celebrating your anniversary, and instead of buying a gift or a shoe or a bag for your wife, you might be taking her for a vacation or an experience. Mm. I mean, it's different that when you reach there, she might still ask for the bag, but let's keep that aside. But I think somewhere it had moved to experiences, and it's only got speeded up. Now, look at us as Marriott. We have 30 brands. We don't own hotels. We own brands. Mm. And end of the day, what's brand? It is our people. So today, if you had to go to a Ritz-Carlton somewhere, have a great experience, you would say, you know what, Ritz-Carlton was brilliant. And if you come across a person who's had a bad day, an associate or a lady or gentleman, and they give you bad service, you're going to say, you know, somehow Ritz-Carlton is not what it used to be. So I think people make the brand. And so for us, the biggest focus is about training the people we hire. Mm-hmm. And they buying into the story that we need to create experiences or stories for our guests. So when they leave, they're leaving with a story which they're going to talk about. So we're finding different ways that how we train them, but we also then empower them. And I would say further to say we celebrate them as and when they create stories. Mm. So I think that would be one. But a lot of this happens at the GM level. So it's the hotel level. Mm. And you might look at me and say, so what do you do as a CEO to create experiences, or how does your role translate into this? And here I think it's the focus I feel we need to drive. And that's of a balanced scorecard. It's about a focus on our people, because they are the brand, they are our business. A focus on guest satisfaction, which today is very measurable. Mm-hmm. People are very vocal today about, whether it's on social media or on the surveys, people want to give feedback. Mm-hmm. So they're vocal, and therefore you can quantify that. So I think it's the guest experiences, and how do we quantify that? And of course, one can't forget that you're in here for making money for the owners. So there needs to be a balance between these three, and the guest coming at the center of it. I think that is somewhere, if I can drive the focus with as I travel to hotels, I feel it's a job well done. So I think that would be the second part. But end of the day, we need to take one hotel at a time, one guest at a time, and move forward. So I think that's the way forward to kind of focus on those experiences.
Very well said. And, you know, I've often had a question in my mind, you know, having lived in hotels, there are some outstanding hotels, there are some not so outstanding hotels. And I've often been told that this is because of the leader. So my question to you is, what are some of the qualities a good hotel GM should have?
The most important, because you said most important, because it's like a long list here. Mm-hmm. But I would say a GM should be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. He needs to, or she needs to be an owner of that hotel. Mm-hmm. If he or she has the hat of an owner and is ready to do that, I think then you have a good GM for that hotel. Mm-hmm. Because end of the day, GM is the key to the success of the hotel. Yes, product is important. Yes, location is important, but the person who drives, you know, the swim lane we spoke about for the brand, the GM drives the brand. We spoke about service. We said people drive service. He or she is a leader who instills that culture, so to speak. But if the GM is treating that hotel or that business as his or her own, he or she would do everything possible to make every guest happy. To the extent that hotels, end of the day, started long back as inns, when the owner of the house used to welcome you as if you're coming to his or her home.
Right. Yeah.
Cook and serve what he or she made. Mm. Yes, at the end of the day, there was a bill. So if you had to go back from a hotel to innkeeping, I would say to be an entrepreneur would be the most important.
Fascinating. So Sandeep, for someone who's, you know, really worked right up to the top now and running such a large region, what would you say is your leadership style?
I would say it's situational.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have one style fits all kind of an approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times when you need to be hands-on as a leader, especially if there's a crisis or there's a situation like COVID, where one needed to get a bit more hands-on and get to it at the beginning. And of course, then the different teams take on from there. Mm-hmm. There are times when you need to be a strategic leader. And here, I think it's about the balance between kind of watching the dance floor, so to speak, if your hotels are dance floors, and then getting onto the dance floor and being with the people, to my previous point about being hands-on. But then again, zoning out and looking at the larger picture. So I think this balance is certainly required. But I also see that as you grow into the organization and you have larger number of hotels, somewhere a coaching style of leadership works very well for me, because end of the day, you're working through people, whether you're working through the vice presidents or the GMs. End of the day, that relationship of trust and transparency and being able to coach the particular leader at a particular time is one of the ways I feel it's most conducive to a particular situation. But I think the biggest one, or the base, would also be we need to get the word right in terms of being a servant leader in sense of being people leader. End of the day, the most important in this business is our associates, our people. I cannot even think or imagine that I would be meeting all our guests to make a difference to our guest satisfaction. It's our people who touch the different guests. So it's about looking after those people. It's about at a larger scale, but also at looking at seeing different leaders or high potential, how they are growing and supporting them. Mm. It's almost like somebody sent me the elevator to grow or to come up, or showed me the staircase. So sometimes it was fast and sometimes slow, but I feel I need to do the same now to send the elevator down to bring more people up or ensure that enough staircase is coming up. So I think people or a servant leadership is another one which should be the base leadership style. So very situational.
Fabulous. So one more question for you before I move to the next segment. This is the age of the millennials and the Gen Zs. True. You know, and they're inheriting the world and they're going to take it forward. What has been the impact that the millennials and Gen Zs are having on the tourism industry as customers?
Good question. I would actually say the millennials and Gen Z by age and by heart, because I think there are enough of us, including you and me, Ashutosh, who by heart are Gen Z. Yeah,
absolutely.
Would you agree?
Yes.
I think that there are two pieces to this. One is the fact that they are even more into experiences than I was about to say we were, but I need to be careful when I say that. But they are even more into looking at experiences versus products. So they were already on this journey well before COVID, which ties up with our industry end of the day. So I think it's a good news. I think the second is a big component is the digital part of it. They're very digital savvy. Everything is on the iPhone, which is for all of us. But for them, I think it's even more. Some of us still like to go and give a call to the hotel, give a call to the travel agent, or go get on a laptop and kind of get a feel of the hotel and then do it. Whereas they're more into technology and booking through the iPhone. So that's a big piece. And, you know, I was talking about Marriott Bonvoy, and today we have about 153 million members, including you, who are able to kind of get onto the app. You can book a room, you can see how where you're going next. You can put your preferences. You can send a message to the hotel. You could check in. You could use the iPhone as a key to the hotel room. So I think the technology piece is certainly a component which is there. And something linked to that would be social media, which is kind of changing how things work. They're very active on it. They would like to go to the TripAdvisors or different social media sites to see what the feedback has been from other guests. So I think it's become very active and very live. So technology has been a big change which we are seeing, and therefore our marketing strategies are more obviously online versus more how it used to be, or print media how it used to be. So that's changed a lot.
Fascinating. So I'm now going to move to the last segment, which is some questions for you personally.
Sure.
Our guests love to, you know, our viewers and listeners love to get to know our guests a little more when they hear our conversation. So my first question to you is that someone who spent so much time in the hotel business and who's now at such high levels, and I'm sure there's far more coming up for you, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career so far?
In my career, I would say the first would be joining of hotels itself. It's a lot of times you're at an age when you're not sure what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying in your mind to put the different thoughts that cross you, different things that excite you. And you hope that all that would come together and you join an industry which you would enjoy for the rest of your life.
Correct.
And today, if you had to ask me, if I had to go back in time and choose what I had to do,
mm-hmm.
I would do this journey all over again.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I think somewhere that was my first milestone when I joined this industry. And interestingly, Ashutosh, that it's the month of August, and it was exactly 25 years back.
Wow.
In the month of August that I joined hotels. In Butler's back in the Oberoi, Mumbai. So,
Wow. Yes,
it's been 25 years. So that would be one.
Mm.
The second I would say is when I first became a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
I was the GM at the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
We were opening the hotel. Going back to my example of being an innkeeper, I felt that was my home. That hotel was mine, and everybody who walked into the door was coming to my home and had to leave happy. All the people working with me in that hotel were my family. And I think somewhere it was my first baby, so to speak. So that's one experience or one milestone I can mm-hmm. never forget. But I think getting to today, I'm most excited about my current role. I've taken over as the Chief Operating Officer for Middle East, Egypt, and Turkey. We have 170 hotels
Wow.
in this market. And what's exciting is the growth. It's about 100 hotels in the pipeline, which, if I had to round off my maths a little bit, it's 60% to our existing portfolio. And it's markets that are really doing well, whether it's the UAE, it's Qatar, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Egypt or Turkey, all are on a path of growth. So when I look back, the fact that the worst is behind us with COVID, I look ahead, I look at the glass getting more than half full now, and the growth coming in, I think I find this point a very exciting part of my career as well.
Amazing, amazing. So Sandeep, I've got time for one more question. I've started a debate sure. to ask you, but I thought in your silver anniversary month in the hotel business, my question is, what would your advice be to a young individual starting off on her or his career in the travel and tourism business?
Good question. I would say it would be about consistency and passion. There is a lot of hard work in this industry. It's long hours, and it's very easy to kind of stay at the top and ensure that you're doing, whether you're in the kitchen or service or housekeeping, to start with. but a lot of times it can get tiring and the consistency can come down, or your energy levels or your enthusiasm or your love for the industry. To keep everything very consistent of your values is very important. And the second is to stay very passionate about what you're doing. And I'll try to, because it's a very broad term, this being passionate. And we often use it saying, you know, be passionate about this or stay passionate. I kind of give this example of a train. Yeah, so when you take a hot water, you boil it. At 99 degrees, it's hot water. I mean, if you put your hands into it, you're going to burn your hands. You heat it for one more degree. It's going to become 100 degrees, and then it's steam. And I think at least when both of us had more black hair, trains were run on steam. So that's the power of steam. And all it took was that one degree more. And I think that's passion. But I think the youngsters need to keep finding their passion as to what is that one thing they're going to do every day, every week, every month. What is that one thing that they're going to do at work which will make a difference? The one guest more they're going to look after, the one book more they're going to read. If we can all continue to do that one degree in everything we do, I think that's passion, and that can truly, if consistently kept to my first point, for sure is a story to success.
Fabulous. Amazing. Sandeep, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure and privilege speaking to you. Thank you for taking me down this journey of the travel business. I mean, I've just loved the examples you've given of branding through a swimming pool, for example. I mean, these are things that I'll probably remember for a long, long time. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashutosh. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.